We're gonna move up a level from. We started discussing the basic concept of Yira as in Yirat HaOynish. But really the purpose of discussing Yirat HaOynish is to move on to the next more essential level. When we see all the Psukim and Chazal and Sfarim going on and on about the greatness of Yira, we're not talking about Yirat HaOynish. We're talking about something that's called Yirat HaRoymanus. But before we really get into the terms, I want to start slowly developing what the concept is. This week I want to take the first step towards trying to bring the concept of Yirat HaRoymanus a bit home. So this week really is a preliminary step. I want to start with a certain mashal. We have a Gemara that can make people nervous. Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was scared when he was ready to encounter Esau. The Gemara asks, why was Yaakov Avinu scared? Didn't Hashem promise him that I'll keep you safe? And the Gemara answers, Shema Yigroi Machet. He was worried maybe he had done some Aveira and that would make him lose the merit. So, at first glance, this is not a comfortable Gemara because, what does this mean? Yaakov Avinu had to be worried that maybe there was some Aveira that he wasn't aware of. So, does this mean that we have to go through life wondering maybe there's some mine under the ground, maybe we did something that we didn't even realize, and it once again brings about the image of a Yiddishkeit where you're like, you just can't succeed because everything is so subtle and so fine and you're doing averus without even realizing it, and who knows what the Oymek HaDin is going to be, so is there a point in even trying? This Gemara is really saying something else. And here's where I want to come to the beginning of a perspective of what the concept of Yirat HaRoymanus is. Let's say a mashal. Give a mashal. Of what it means when we say that Yaakov Avinu was worried Shema Yigroi Machet. The Ramban says, he kind of hints, he says something cryptic, he says, because great people work in that way. Great people work in that way, that they're always worried Shema Yigroi Machet, and therefore they're always busy trying to rectify. So what does that mean? The Ramban seems to be saying that for a smaller person, might not be a concern. I don't understand. For a small person, it's even more of a concern. We're much more likely to have done averus that we're not aware of. So I want to bring it home with the following mashal. Let's say one day you're sitting at home, and you get a call from, I don't know, what's the biggest name in the financial world today? Bill Gates, or am I outdated? What's that? Bill Gates. Said Bill Gates, the message on the phone, you get a phone call from Bill Gates. He says, look, I heard about you, I'm going to tell you a secret. I want to retire, Bill Gates tells you. Getting a secret phone call, I want to retire. I want to keep my business going. I want to take you in as a partner. Now the truth is, I heard about you, you're the one I want to work with. Why on earth should he pick me out of the whole world? How did he get to me? You don't know. Now the truth is, there's a secret here. Running this business doesn't take more than an hour a day. Okay? A secret. Do you mind coming to my office and I'll get you into the business and we'll be 50-50 partners? Is that okay with you? So what is your response going to be? Well, I have to see. You know, some days I'm available, some days I'm not. No, you'll be there, right? And he says, look, I know it's a tircha. I'm going to provide you with a first-class ticket, and there'll be a chauffeur to pick you up from the airport. I know it's a tirchai apal. Don't worry, it's a pleasure. I'll be there, right? And, okay, you come. Let's talk how it is. He puts you up in five-star. I'm confusing the terms. But you get the idea, right? And you're in a luxurious setting, and basically you're there to sunbathe and enjoy an hour a day just to make sure to be at his office. This is very important. He says, I'm counting on you because once I start with you, I can't take anybody else in. There's a limited amount of time I have to do this. And if it doesn't work with you, then I'll get rid of you and forget it. I'll just keep working. Okay? Fine. He wants you to be in at that hour a day. Other than that, enjoy, have a great time at his expense. Okay? One day something comes up and you just couldn't make it. The one thing he wanted of you is that be there. From 6 to 7, be there. Okay? If something comes up and you just couldn't make it. And you finally get there, it's a half hour late. And you see that he's left you messages, where are you, I need you. Okay? So now, the question is, how are you going to feel now? On the one hand, you could say, look, did I do something terrible to him? I didn't come, but one day I didn't come fast, a half hour late. Yeah. I don't even need to bother to apologize because it wasn't even really my fault. Right? So, I don't feel desperate to get back in touch with him. If he calls me and asks me what happened, I'll explain. But I don't feel terrible, I don't feel bad because it really wasn't my fault. Or, are you gonna feel the situation that I'm in is so uncanny, right? And you're so aware that you feel like you're walking on eggshells even if he didn't make you feel that way. You know, as far as he's concerned, he's treating you with a lot of patience. But because of how uncanny the situation is, and because of how precious the situation is, you feel like, I don't want to be in a situation where he might even have the smallest thought that I'm not exactly everything he thought I was. That I'm not exactly the person that he needs. And you're going to be head over heels rushing for his office to be there telling him that, look, this is not a compromise on my dedication and I'm there all the way, etc., etc. So where is this coming from? It's not coming from a feeling of fear in the simple sense of like, what's he going to do to me? I'm bigger than him. He can't hurt me. Right? In the worst case scenario, I'll be sent back home. Life wasn't terrible before him. But yet you don't feel that way. Your heart is pounding. Right? Your heart is pounding. What's that coming from? Why do you feel so desperate? It's because you have such an appreciation of what this situation is. Right? How, what an opportunity this is, how unbelievable this is, that the thought of anything that could possibly jeopardize it is terrifying, makes you palpitate. And therefore you are rushing to his office, you're desperate to get to his office in order to, I'm making it up, right? To apologize, to explain, etc. Yaakov Avinu was walking on eggshells not because necessarily he felt that Hashem is waiting with the bat, waiting to see where is Yaakov going to go wrong, and then boom, he'll hit him over the head. Yaakov lived with the appreciation of what it means when Hashem said that now you're my partner in this world. You're the one who I'm binding all of the eternity of this world up with. I'm binding myself up with you for all of eternity, etc. Yaakov walked on eggshells just because of his appreciation of this reality. And this was something that he was terrified to jeopardize. Shema Yigra Nachem meant, if I appreciate how uncanny it is that Hashem should want to establish a relationship with me, that Hashem should be interested in doing business with me, I'm always so scared that this, anything that could possibly come across as me not relating seriously to it, or anything that could appear as sacrilegious, I'm especially sensitive to. In that sense, I'm walking on eggshells. So on the contrary, this is the beginning. We haven't really got to the point. But this is approaching the concept of Yiras HaRenunos. Yiras HaRenunos comes from somewhere else. It's a fear, but it's a different type of fear. It's not the type of fear in the sense of burning in Gehenna, or in the sense of being banged over the head. It's a fear that comes from a deeper appreciation of what the opportunity of being chosen by Hashem, opportunity that all of the malachim envy, right, of being chosen by Hashem, that He wants you. He wants to form a relationship with you. When you're a great enough person and you know who Hashem is, it's hard to grasp. And you go through your life with that feeling of, could it really be that I'm in such a situation? And you go through life with a feeling of, yes, Shema Yigrei Machet. Therefore, when a person is on such a great level, he has this appreciation, Hashem expects him to relate in this way. Hashem does expect him to relate in this way. If you appreciate what it means that I took you, you do have to be walking on eggshells. And therefore, there were great people who did lose all of their standing because of a small thing. Once again, not necessarily because the small thing per se warranted such terrible punishment, but because a person who appreciates what it means that Hashem is ready to give me the, not the chance of a lifetime, but the chance of a history, right? The chance that the malachim are jealous of, right? And if he doesn't relate to it seriously enough to realize that, yes, a small infraction requires a very, very big and intense apology, then he doesn't deserve it. But again, it's a whole different approach. It's an approach of the Yiras HaRoimim is in the sense of appreciating the difference between me and Hashem. How the difference, the unlikeliness of Bill Gates choosing you out of everybody in the world, at the end of the day, Bill Gates is made up of the same stuff as you. Right? He might have an upset stomach just like you have. But when you're talking about Hashem, that Hashem should choose you, and say, I want to have a relationship with you, and a business deal with you. It's not business. But for all of eternity, for billions of years. But what that depends on is for the next little while. In the worst case, 120 years. Right? I want you to keep up to a certain standard. A person lives with that appreciation. And again, 120 years really is very insignificant when we're talking in terms of what he's offering you in the ultimate picture, billions of years. Otherwise, it is 120 years and a person is dead. That's how it works with the guy. Depressing thought. And then it's finished. In billions of years, but there's a fleeting moment in which I want you to live up to a certain expectation. A person does feel, if I ever slip, I have to come rushing to Hashem and say, oh, I'm sorry. Right? This is the beginning. I'm stressing this. This is the beginning step towards understanding what the Yiras HaRoimim is. We haven't really gotten there, but we're starting to bridge the, take the step from Yiras HaOinesh to what we call Yiras HaRoimim. It's based on that appreciation of what the reality of a relationship with Hashem is. But we'll develop it further, Bezos Hashem, in the coming weeks.